singing tonight. Thank you for being here. We've had a lot of visitors this week, and that's of note. It's important, and it adds a lot to the gospel meeting. And so I hope the brethren here at 78th understand they owe some congregation some visits in the coming months. We thank you for being here and being a part of this. We had a wonderful breakfast this morning. If you weren't there, well, you goofed up and you missed out. Enjoyed that time and fellowship and have enjoyed being with you very much. I want to just dive right in this evening. The book of Luke 24, beginning verse 36. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." They were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. What did they see? You know, I can give you a little background on this passage. Jesus had been crucified. He had been put in the grave, and 3 days later he came forth. He showed himself, and then the disciples were meeting together, and he just appeared. And it scared them. They maybe thought their eyes were playing tricks on them in some way. I'll have you to notice this evening John's account in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. What did they see? So the question I wish to ask and for you to consider is, what do you see? What do you see? We all have eyes. I suppose most of us in this room can use them and can see. You're blessed. Look at this. What do you see? We're all looking at the same thing. What do you see? I used this illustration a while back, and some young person said, "A sideways horse." I suppose you can see it. I don't know. I see a frog right here, where before I saw a horse. I want to speak with you tonight about faith, about our faith, and specifically our walk of faith. And if I was going to give the sermon a title, I suppose it would be "The Reality of Faith." And so I want to talk to you a little bit about how we come into the world, and we've all come in the same way. And it's a very challenging thing, but we all come in the world with lenses on our eyes. I wear these glasses. I don't like them. But every one of us is born with no lenses. And the fact is, our parents put lenses on us. And we view the world, most of us, through the lens of our upbringing. The things we enjoy, the things we don't enjoy. We are influenced tremendously by our parents. And it's inescapable. Those lenses are there. It's the lenses. We never think about it. We never look at those lenses and go, "Well, I want to take those lenses off," because it seems natural. They're there. We view the world in a certain way, typically because of our upbringing. But Leslie, can I have your glasses? I don't know if you'll be able to see or not now. Sorry. There's lenses that are on top of lenses. Because of our culture, we're Americans, most of us. And we view the world through an American and dare I say, Texas point of view. And we just look at the world a certain way because of our culture. Ken, let me see those glasses. And then there's our friends. And we put those lenses on. Maybe. And we, hey, that's better. All right. We like things our friends like. And we start to share those views of the world. And those are the things we look at. And it influences us. And we look through those lenses for a long time. Let me see those glasses. And then we've got finances. That changes how we look at the world. And I won't take any more glasses. Oh, I'm going crazy. What's happened here? Did I do that? I better take these off. Are these yours? Those are hers. I hope everybody gets the right ones. Those are mine. Our health shapes how we view the world. Our desires. And we don't even know it. We don't even think about it, do we? It just seems normal to grow up and view the world in such a way. But what if we could just look through a lens of truth? What if we could take all those lenses off and just look at things like they are? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What if we could just take and look at that away? He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What if we could take and just look at things through the lens of the Bible? Through the lens of the New Testament? To cause us to see in a way that is real. And that's why I've named the title here, The Reality of Faith. What if we could just look at things and see things through the lens that God would have us to use, and that's His Word. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, He said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we could just put on the lenses that God would have us wear, and we could view other people in that way. We could view the church that way. We could view our life, our job, our husband, wife, our family, money. We could go on and on and on. What if we could just do that? Well, I think we can, even though I do think that's a challenge. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we could just take and use the word of God to help us to see what's out there and to help us to understand, I think that would be magnificent. I think that would be wonderful. I think it would be so helpful because so many things creep into our vision. We start to see so many things because of our parents, our culture, our friends, our finances, our health, our desires. We start to view so many things, and that's why so many people in the world have a hard time seeing. I have people all the time come up to me and go, I don't understand why people can't see it. Well, they're looking through a lot of lenses. It's hard to take them off. When you take them off, you go, well, that looks funny. It don't look right. Brother Garrett, would you come up here a minute? I'm going to use you for my illustration. Oh, good. He's happy. We all know Garrett. We love him. Stand right up here, please. Thank you. Just turn around. And what is this? What is that? I want you to all think of an answer. Some of you may have said, my son. Some of you have maybe said, my daddy. Some of you may have said, oh, what a handsome rascal. I don't know. Someone who's kind of scientific-y might have said he's a combination of cells and amino acids and proteins and molecules, and, you know, maybe on some level that'd be right. Somebody might have said, oh, he's a dirty dog. I don't know. Okay, thanks. You did good. Do you know what that is? According to Scripture, this is what he is. He says, we know that if our earthly house is of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. Garrett's a spirit. Isn't that true? He's a spirit. And what we see and know when we shake his hand or hug his neck, when we talk to him, is flesh, and that's not going to last, is it? There's a spirit there and a soul that's going to go on eternally. So I'm talking to you about a way of viewing the world that's real. And a reality that comes with faith. And without faith, people will look at Garrett and he's just a guy. But with faith, there's something that difference that's there. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. There's going to come a day that Garrett changes from a physical to a spiritual being, and that's truly what he is at the very core. And that's true for every one of you. Penn's a spiritual being. Steve's a spiritual being. See, Alta's a spiritual being. And that's why when we get to heaven, we're neither married or given in marriage. All these things that we look at, that we focus on so much, they're not real. I mean, they are real. They're not eternal. So I want to talk to you about realize for just a moment. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's a wonderful passage of Scripture because it encourages us to live our lives according to our faith, not according just to what we see, not according to what we feel. We ought to walk by faith. Romans 8, verse 4, he says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to encourage you today to do something that's real, which is live by the Spirit, walk by faith, and walk after spiritual things. Pursue spiritual things, because that's what's real. This flesh, just temporary. It's just for a little while. Galatians 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so if we can focus with our spiritual eyes, and we can look at things with spiritual eyes, a man wouldn't see a woman to lust upon. He'd see a soul and a spirit. You understand what I'm saying? A person wouldn't look at money to covet, what can I buy and what could I do? They would look at that as a means to spread the gospel, to help the church grow and flourish, to give to someone who has a need. It's a tremendous difference. And how we view things. And that has to do with those things. Galatians 5:25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Excuse me. And so it's a new way to see. It's a different way to view life. What if I told you you could leave this building tonight with a completely and totally different view of life? A view that leads to happiness. A view that leads contentment. A view that will help you overcome every trial and every temptation, every heartache. That's a wonderful idea, and it's real, you see. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the way Jesus viewed things. This is how he viewed things. So I want to talk to you just for a minute about a real sight. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus said over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many of them that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. And I remember thinking this when I was a kid. He didn't know how to, he know how to count. He didn't know how to count. Who put in more money? The widow or the rich? The rich. Very simple answer. But Jesus looked at things with spiritual eyes. And it wasn't about the amount. You understand? It wasn't about the dollars and cents. It's about the heart that was behind it. And that's real. He says, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Do you think that was special to Jesus? A heart that was so generous that she gave it all. Well, that tells us something about this widow too, how she viewed the money, how she viewed her life. She had eyes that were spiritual, and she made a decision to give everything she had because she knew that tomorrow Jesus would take care of her. And the thing that keeps us all from being more generous is eyes of flesh. If I give this money, then I won't have enough money. And I'll tell you, this widow wasn't looking at that. Not at all. Reality of faith is something that will change our values. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, he says. Let me translate that into Texican for you. Without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I hear people all the time say, well, I got a job opportunity. I could make a lot of money. Oh, it'd be so good for our family. Now we're going to have to move to Albuquerque. Well, what's that going to do to your family? What's the spiritual consequences of that move? How will that affect your kids, your wife, your family? Is it worth it? Or being here in Lubbock where you've got a strong church family and elders and deacons and a support system that the church is, what's that going to do? The apostle said, I don't care a thing about losing everything. It don't mean a thing to me. Because he said, I want to win Christ. I want to win Christ. That's a true value. That's real values. The reality of faith changes the way we view those things. Let me talk to you about real fear. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, fear not them which kill the body. That's kind of hard, isn't it? Jesus said, don't fear those who will kill you. That's hard. He says, here's who you should fear. Fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are to fear God. God. Fear what God can do to you, not man. And he sets this before us for us to think about and examine what's really important to us. The flesh, this life of flesh. Or the spiritual, eternity with God. If what you see is not real, if you look at the world through fleshly eyes, this is what he says about that in Philippians 3, verse 18. He said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." There's people who live every day and they can't see past the end of their nose. And it's to their own destruction. I want to show you something here. Life, we're all in it, aren't we? There's only one way out. Well, there's two. Jesus comes back, that's one way. The other way is to die. I want to show you a timeline. This is a generality, of course, of life. We're born, and we've all done that, haven't we? Congratulations. We've all mastered that part. And then, guess what? We go to school. And that's what I did. At age 5, I went to kindergarten, and that was great. And first thing you know, you're just like Katie, and you graduate. And you move on in a whole new realm of life, and it's exciting, and it's wonderful, and all those kinds of things. And generally, right around the corner is marriage for a lot of people, was for me. And as soon, pretty soon, right after marriage, was little children's. And man, life got busy. And we got to needing more money, needing a bigger house. We didn't need a little two-door car anymore. We need a big car. And it just, man, things ramped up in a very serious way. And we had careers to pursue. For me, I went into evangelism. My wife went to working at a school and just busy, busy, busy. And guess what? Not too long ago, we looked up. Congratulations, you've been married 25 years. And guess what? Now it's 33. It's just life, isn't it? And it ain't all bad. Because the next thing you know, there's grandbabies. And they come up and they say, "Pop, pop, pop." And I say, "What do you want?" Because you can have it. And the first thing you know, it's the 50th anniversary. And what an accomplishment, you know. And then it's your 80th birthday, and then it's over. I want to ask you something. Is that accurate? Of course it is. We're all marching down this same path. No, not true. None of that's true. I'll show you. Your life, look how long that is, 80 years. It's amazing, isn't it? 80 years. We had a lady in our congregation a few years ago, 103 years old. Nona Elmore was literally born before sliced bread. 103. And I sat down and talked to her one day, and she said, "My life has just gone by like that." How can that be? Your life, the reality is, that's your life. That's 80 or 100 years. Now add in eternity. That's really not even fair. The reality is, eternity. 80 years is a very exceedingly, tremendously, astronomically small period of time. Infinitely small in the view of eternity. But we look at life and all those things, and we live it, and we make memories and all that. I'm trying to get you to look at life differently. This life is very short. I dare say not too many of us in this room will live to be 103. Maybe you'll be the one who does, or 105 or 10 or for whatever. Live 200 years. Doesn't matter. Very short. And it's a very limited amount of time to make some decisions and choices for your spiritual future. Prepare now for eternity, because that's coming. And let me tell you something. It's real. You want to know how I know it's real? I'm going to tell you. I watched three little babies be born. They cried. The doctor put them in my hand. And they're grown. They're grown. Okay? My dear grandmother, 95 years old, passed away. And I walked up to her casket and I looked at her. I reached in and touched her, and she's cold. Her life's over. Her life's over. And there was a spirit there. And there was a spirit in those little babies. And that's exactly what God said it'd be. So that tells me right there that eternity's real. All these things are real. He says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've not seen eternity. You've not either. I believe it's there. It's real. The book of John, chapter 12, verse 25, he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I will tell you tonight, I want to go to heaven. I want to go there. I want to be with Jesus. I don't want to be told, depart. I don't want to be told that. I don't want you to hear, depart from me. Folks, that's for eternity. And whatever we've got to do, now listen, whatever you've got to do, whatever you've got to give up, whatever you've got to overcome, you've got to do it. It's worth it. Whatever you have to do to go to heaven, it's worth it. If that means your last two pennies you give, then you give it. It's worth it. Do you understand? Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever we've got to suffer, it's worth it. And that's reality. So don't live your life just thinking about tomorrow. Think about eternity. And make choices today that are going to help you to have that eternal home. James 4, verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Do not spend the days of your life toiling, working, worrying over things that do not matter. Don't waste your life that way. Look at life with spiritual eyes, and you will see looming, not far away, eternity. You can't miss it. But if you look with the flesh, you won't be able to see past the end of your nose. So my encouragement to you tonight, brethren, is serve the Lord with all your heart. It's worth it. Give up whatever you got to give up, my brothers and sisters. It's worth it. Whatever pain, whatever shame, whatever discomfort, whatever heartache, whatever it is, give it up. It's not real. Eternity's real. The Spirit is real. Now I'll tell you, you're intelligent, smart people. If you need to change your life, do it. Make a good choice today. Make a good choice. Don't leave here tonight and go, I should have went up there. Don't leave here tonight, not a Christian. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not begun your Christian walk. Begin tonight. You can be washed in the blood of Jesus tonight. If you're here tonight and you're hurting, if things are not going the way they ought to go, if you realize tonight you've been looking through the lenses, take them off. And if you'll take off those lenses, you'll realize something. It doesn't matter if it's embarrassing to come up front. It doesn't matter what other people think about it. What matters is to make a choice and a decision that's spiritual, that'll take you towards Jesus, towards heaven, towards eternity. That's what matters. So we're going to sing a song. You've all heard it before. You all know it. It has wonderful words. Think about those things. And if we can help you, I beg you to come as we sing.